great music Channel and talk. Channel Radio.
Business Bunker.
Welcome to the Business Bunker show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, May the 10th, with me, Paul Andrews, and my lovely co-presenter, hastily blagged into the job, the lovely Jane Connolly. Hello, Jane.
Hello, Paul.
Thank you so much for doing this. I didn't tell Jane until she arrived at the studio. She thought she was going to have the afternoon off, and I found her a job.
That's fine. Thank you for having me.
No, it's an absolute pleasure, and thank you for joining us. Jane is from White Spot PR. Is a well-known local journalist. I was trying to think of the best way to introduce you, really. A well-known local journalist and PR person. And thank you so much for stepping in and helping me out. I really do appreciate it.
No problem.
We'd like to hear from you, the businesses of Kent, and further afield. And you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can call me on 01-303-874-998, 01-303-874-998. You can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to get hold of us and to interact with us live on the show, as you know by now, is to tweet me at VanillaWeb. And we have already had a couple of hundred tweets, and I will try and read some of those out as we go through the day. I'd also like to say a massive thank you to the Business Bunker show partners, who are the fabulous folks from Supply My Business, RAP Office Contracts, the Federation of Small Business for Kent and Medway, and Rift Accounting. A huge thank you to all four of those organisations for partnering with us on the Business Bunker Show. We really do appreciate your support, and they help us no end with putting on the Business Bunker Show. So a massive thank you to them. And also a mention to today's show sponsor, who are the lovely folks, Deb and Di, at Dom Education Group. That's Deb and Di Domican at the Dom Education Group over there in Medway. Thank you all so much for supporting us on the Business Bunker show. We've had a tweet from RAP Interiors, and they say, VanillaWeb, could you mention that we have an opportunity for a business and marketing vacancy, and they're interested in someone that wants to do an internship at their offices in Maidstone, and it's a business and marketing intern opportunity, and you can find out about the job and you can apply for it by going to their website, which is rapofficecontracts.com, or one word, rapofficecontracts.com. So do check that out if you or anyone you know would like an internship position with RAP. Sonia Wood of Ecosan has just tweeted to say that you can meet the teen face of the world, and she showed me a picture of an incredibly good-looking young lady, and apparently you can meet her on Stand 501, and I'm assuming that's at the Kent Vision Live tomorrow.
Right.
And I guess that's where you can meet her. And also tomorrow, Gerard has tweeted to say that tomorrow at 10 a.m. There's a networking meeting at Creek Creative in Faversham, and he says all are welcome. So thank you for that, Gerard. And who else have we got? Oh, blimey. The Fat Carrot. The Fat Carrot has tweeted, and I have to say I know the Fat Carrot, and the Fat Carrot is actually the lovely Jane Apps, and she is neither fat nor a carrot, but she is a vegetarian. And she says, VanillaWeb and Business Bunker, please can you shout out for a veggie pop-up on Saturday the 17th of June at Benenden Hall. The tickets are just £30, and do book as soon as possible. That's Friday the 17th of June, And she's got Saturday. Yeah, on there it says the 17th. It's the 17th of June, and it's 8 till 11 at the Village Hall. So you can find out more about it by following either the Fat Carrot 1, the number 1, Fat Carrot 1, or Benenden, B-E-N-E-N-D-E-N, underscore Hall. That's Benenden as in the village. Benenden underscore Hall. Follow either of those, and you can find out more about the event the 17th of June, which is a veggie pop-up event. Which is cool. And now my Twitter's stopped. Oh, do come on. It's going to be one of those days. The lovely folks at Western Hangar Castle have tweeted, Vanilla Web Business Bunker, we're looking forward to Motown Magic. Motown Magic on the 3rd of June. It's amazing. Live show takes you back to the golden age of Motown, bringing to life some of the greatest songs from legendary artists. The tickets are only £36.50. And that includes a three-course meal and a glass of bubbly. And you can find out more about that. Also, I happen to know, not on the same date, but they've also got Beverly Knight appearing. I think we've got a tweet about that later on. They've got Beverly Knight appearing at Westingham Castle as well, and Lamar. But you can find out more about their events by following them on the Twitter. And the Twitter handle is actually SP Wedding Events. SP Wedding Events. So do follow them on the Twitter or look up Westingham Castle on the Google. I tell you what, Jane, do you want to read a bit of an email now?
Okay, yeah, that's fine. If you're a local
business... I did that deliberately. I was waiting until she was nicely chilled out and then I went...
Your turn.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, apparently, if you're a local business, you need to be ready for the introduction of the new £1 coin. That's according to MP Sir Roger Gale. He says that businesses and services in North Thanet / Herne Bay need to be preparing for the introduction of the new coin that will be launched in March 2017. Speaking at the House of Commons following a presentation by the Royal Mint, the MP said there is a vast number of outlets that use coin machines in my constituency. They range from seaside amusement arcades through civic and hospital car parking services to the many small businesses that use coin handling devices. So basically you need to be getting ready for that, and I'm sure we've all had experiences where you try to use a machine somewhere and you're in a hurry and you need to catch a train and the coin does not get accepted by the machine, so people need to pay attention to that. But the Royal Mint claims that unlike its predecessor, which has been counterfeited in its thousands, the new £1 coin, which is based on a design by a 15-year-old schoolboy and features the emblems of the United Kingdom emerging from a coronet, will be the most secure circulating coin in the world.
It's 12-sided, isn't it?
Apparently so, yes, 12-sided with rounded edges and corners. It's being minted now to be introduced next year. There'll be a six-month co-circulation period, but after that point, it's the new 12-sided only.
Because that's going to create absolute mayhem, isn't it? Because every parking machine, every coin-operating machine is going to have to change because the coin is radically different.
Absolutely. It will be interesting to hear from any local businesses who are going to be affected by this because presumably if you utilise any coin machines, then you're going to have to adapt.
I imagine that one of the things that will happen, especially with parking machines and stuff like that, it will drive a lot more people to the online apps.
Absolutely.
Yeah, where you just pay by your phone. And it also surprises me that they haven't developed some kind of NFC, you know, contactless, like you do with Oyster cards on the tube or whatever, where you have even a prepaid contactless payment parking systems and do away with coins altogether, because there must be a huge overhead in sending people around to empty coin boxes and stuff like that.
There must be, yes.
Yeah.
But
there you go. 12-edged coins. So if you operate coin-operated machinery, you've got to change it. Yeah. If you've got a penny arcade over in Margate, you're fine.
you're
still okay with that. But anything else, got to change. Kent-based Elisa Manicardi is studying for an MSc in Management with the University of South Wales. And she's currently working on a dissertation and is looking for a few companies that would be willing to assist her with her research. She's looking at corporate values and the impact it has on employees. Elisa is interested in speaking to companies ranging from those with no set values, to those with strong set values. If you know of any Kent or South East-based company that might be happy to get involved in this project, it isn't a lot of time, please can you get in touch with me, on the Business Bunker, and you can do that by emailing me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk or on the contact form on kentbusinessradio.co.uk website, or by tweeting me at Vanilla Web. So if you're a company in the southeast of England and you are willing to spend a little bit of time just working with an MSc student on their dissertation by answering some questions and doing some stuff about values, corporate values, in your organisation, no matter how big or small you are, that will be useful. Do get in contact with me, and I will pass your contact details on to the lovely Elisa Manicardi, for it is her who is what doing that. This has really pleased me. I got this email last night, and this really, really did please me. For those of you that know me, I will go to the opening of an envelope, and I do quite a few events. And one of the events I regularly do is to chair the panel on the South Kent Young Enterprise Awards. And we did that a couple of weeks ago. And the team from Highworth Grammar School in Ashford that actually won the South Kent Awards sent me an email last night. And they said, would you give us a mention on the show tomorrow? Greenshots Limited, which is the name of their company, who won... has won the Kent final of the Young Enterprise Company competition. They will now appear in the South East final in mid-June. So that's a huge well done to Ben Wood, Alice, and the whole team on the Greenshots Company from Highworth Grammar School, who have got all the way through to the South East finals. And very well done, fantastic achievement. And they were ably supported. Their mentor was Paul Johnson, who happens to be the group chair of V325 in Kent. So congratulations, Paul, as their mentor. Congratulations to Ben and the team from Green Shots at Highworth Grammar School in Ashford, and wishing you much, much luck and success with the South East finals. Fantastic achievement. Well done. I'll tell you what, Jane, do you want to read us something else? And you can choose. You can choose whether you do an email or a tweet. I really don't mind.
Okay, I'll do an email if that's all right.
Yeah,
we've
of course
got
it is.
Some exciting business events coming up in the next few months and weeks. One not to be missed, I think, is on the 29th of June at Buckmore Park in Chatham. It's the North Kent B2B.
All right.
And highlights of the day are going to include engaging keynote speakers. Are you going to be among them, Paul?
I'm not sure. It's days away yet, isn't it? So I haven't organised my diary. I am hoping to go because there's a bit of driving going on there, and I like
a bit
of driving.
I'm sure there is, yeah. Okay, there's also going to be informative workshops on key business topics, speed networking sessions, so you can check out your new connections on the go, networking breakfast, free business advice with one-to-one sessions with experienced advisors, and dozens of businesses demonstrating their products and services. And you can get in touch with those people. It's rather a long email address, but it's kentb2b.sendmedetails.com/visiting-our-b2b-shows.
Fantastic. It's the trouble with these email addresses now. The worst ones are the Eventbrite booking ones that have got dozens of numbers in and stuff like that. I happen to know that the event is staged by Best Business Events, and you can find all their events by going to their website, and their website is linked from our homepage on the Kent Business Radio website on the left-hand side. If you click on the link with their logo, Best Business Events, that will take you to all of their event pages, and you can book all of their events through that.
Okay, that's good to know.
Which is an easier way of doing it, but, you know, you're right, these links. The worst thing is the tweets, because Twitter shortens the links anyway, so you can't read them. And talking of which, we've had a tweet from FSB Andrew Knott, A-Knott20, on the Twitter, and he says, Vanilla Web Business Bunker, hi Paul, can we have a shout-out, please? If you want to learn more about the Federation of Small Business, you can come and see us on stand number 175 at the Kent 2020 Vision Live Show, which I believe is Wednesday. Yeah, it's the 11th,
tomorrow.
Isn't it? It's
tomorrow.
It's tomorrow. Stand 175 at the Detling Showground, the county showground there. Go along, stand 175, meet Andrew and the team from the Federation of Small Business. Liz J's awake. Hello, Nurse Liz. Nurse Liz is our listener from Maryland over there on the east coast of the US, and she's just tweeting in. She's walking the dog at the moment, apparently, and having a listen. So, welcome, Liz. Thank you for joining us once again. And the Crescent Turner, which is a hotel in Whitstable, I believe, pleased to be hosting the tweet up. Pleased to be hosting the Whitstable tweet up. Doesn't say when, but sometime they're hosting the Whitstable tweet up. So good luck with that. And also we've had a tweet from Stu Weller, and he is Stu Entertains on the Twitter, and he says, "Hi Vanilla Web, hi Business Bunker. I'm a fun magician who's recently entertained lots of Kent's mayors. Shame you couldn't make some of them disappear. due to appear at the Ashford Fringe Festival." I can't speak today. And what's all that about? Due to appear shortly at the Ashford Fringe Festival. I've actually seen Stu perform close-up magic. He's brilliant. He's really good. If you need a close-up magician, Stu's your man. And you can follow him on the Twitter at Stu, S-T-U, Entertains, all one word. Jane, do you know what we're going to do now?
What's that?
We're going to play... You don't know, because I haven't told you. We're going to play a bit of tunage.
Okay.
Yeah, a bit of a cheesy record I thought I'd pick to play. Kind of... A little bit linked to our first guest later on, not massively, but, you know, we'll go with it. Anyway, have a listen to this, and then we'll be straight back after that.
I've paid my dues time after time. I've done my sentence, but committed no crime. And bad mistakes... I've made a few. I've had my share and kicked in my bed, but I've come through. I need to go home. Tune in everything that goes with it. I thank you all, but it's been no bed of roses, no pleasure cruise. I consider it a challenge before the whole human race, and I ain't gonna lose.
Suppliers and quote for work with local Kent businesses at supplymybusiness.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com.
RIFT Research and Development. Tax rewards for innovative small businesses. RIFTResearch.com.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk and ChannelRadio.co.uk on this Tuesday, May the 10th, with me, Paul Andrews, and the absolutely lovely Jane Connolly.
Hello.
Hello again. bit of Queen there, bit of We Are the Champions. Kind of a very cheesy tribute to our guest that's coming up shortly. We're going to do a couple more. Oh, there's a telephone. And let's just answer the phone. Hello, you're on the Business Bunker Show.
Hello, Paul, it's Chris.
Hello, Chris. Is that Chris Searle?
Yes, it is Chris Searle.
Hello, Chris. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you doing?
I'm okay, mate. How are you? What are you up to?
Good. I'm currently doing research and buying things for the new shop.
Oh, right. Tell us about this. This is Sweet Sweet Soul in Herne Bay?
Yes, that is. Did I just come straight through to the live radio?
Yeah, you're live, mate. Yeah, we don't mess around here. We don't have staff answering the phone and sorting people out. You're straight on, mate. Don't you worry.
I normally get a little couple of minutes to get ready, but
No. We don't have any of that. You straight on, you are. You're live. There's 8 billion people listening to you now, Chris.
I must have impeccable timing.
Yeah.
Yes, it's our new audio confectionery workshop.
Hmm.
And after a lot of research, we do believe it's one of the first, I think the first in the world.
Right.
Basically, it's a Wonka-style sweet shop with Wonky shelves and grass floor, sky ceiling, all very colourful.
You mean like Willy Wonka and his chocolate factory?
Yes.
Okay.
It's based along those lines. So it's very pleasing to the eye.
Right.
And we are offering some products where... you can buy your own blank audio recordable card,
right.
Design it yourself,
right.
And then go into our magical booth where we have a magical slot where you can put it in, and then you record your message straight onto the card,
right.
And then you come out of the magical booth and choose the sweets to complement the gift, and it comes in a package, and you have a normal version and a luxury version of those two products, and also just normal pick and mix.
Okay, let's make sure I've got this, because this is complicated for a bare little brain like me. So basically, you're going to have a shop that is reminiscent of Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. It's
yes.
Similar. And I'm going to come in there, and I can pick a card that I can send to someone, and I can record on there an audio tribute. And then pick some sweeties to go with it and deliver it as a gift.
That is correct.
Fantastic.
Yes.
That's the first in the world of an emporium that does that.
It is, yeah. Yeah, we loosely based it along Build-A-Bear because we wanted something that was interactive. We went into quite a few sweet shops in Herne Bay. We even went down to Brighton, up to London. And a lot of the sweet shops, there were some really impressive ones, but none of them were really interactive or had like a greeting card association with it. And then one of the other things we kind of based our research on was when we were little, when we were going to sweet shop, we wanted to touch everything and move stuff, but nothing really was interactive. So this one's got a lever to get in, a big button you can push, lollipops you can twirl.
Wow.
And that opens, we're doing a soft opening at the end of May.
Wow.
And we've currently got a crowdfunder to help us finish everything off.
Okay. So you're trying to raise the last bit of money through crowdfunding.
Yes.
Can you tell us how, if anybody wants to support you, and I'm sure loads of people out there will want to support you, because it sounds like a fascinating project. So how do they find your crowdfunder? How do they, support you?
Yes, if they go to Sweet Soul, that's Sweet, S-W-E-E-T, and then S-O-L,
yep.
.co.uk, we have a webpage for a mailing list, and the crowdfunder link is right there, you can pledge.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah. And you're on the Twitter as well, aren't you?
Yes, we're on Twitter at Sweet Sweet Soul.
Fabulous.
So tweet us and support us. And, we're also looking for any investor to come on board. We have one final investor opportunity left. So if anybody would like to come on board, please contact me directly. You can get the contact on Sweet Soul.
Okay, fabulous. Chris, we wish you much success with another project.
Thank you.
Because you've had some very successful projects in the past with your studio on the pier and all kinds of things and your musical career. So we wish you much success with that. It sounds like a fascinating project. I expect to be invited to the opening and have some have some free sweeties.
If I can quickly interject, we've got five golden tickets. They're going to be released out into the town a week before.
Right.
So I'll announce that. I'll let you know the info, and we can announce it on the radio here on your wonderful show, and then we can see who can find those golden tickets.
Fantastic. I shall look forward to that, Chris. That's brilliant.
All right,
stuff.
Paul.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, mate. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Enjoy the show.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye.
Chris Selder of Sweet Soul with his new Willy Wonka shop in Herne Bay. Sounds fascinating, that. That's really avant-garde, isn't it? And out in left field. Oh, I'm looking forward to that. That'll be cool. I'm just going to do a couple of tweets, and then we'll talk to our first guest. I did mention earlier about Western Hanger Castle. We'll keep it in Kent, have tweeted, and they say, Vanillaware Business Bunker, keep it in Kent, has a small number of reduced tickets for the Beverly Knight event. It's £50 for two instead of £37 each. And the Beverly Knight event at Western Hanger Castle is taking place on Saturday, the 18th of June, live at Western Hanger Castle, Hythe in Kent. If you want to find out about those tickets, you can go to their website, and the tickets are available from their website, which is kiik.co/BevKnight. Let me give you that again. That's kiik.co/BevKnight. Or you can go to their Keep It In Kent Facebook page, or you can follow them on the Twitter, which is Keep It In Kent. And they have a couple, not many, so you need to get in quickly, of reduced price tickets for the Beverly Knight concert at Western Hanger Castle on Saturday, the 18th of June. What else have we got? East Kent Apprenticeships, that's East Kent College. They say, Vanillaware Business Bunker, happy Tuesday. We have three apprenticeships at Pfizer's at Sandwich going live. Could you please spread the word and give us a shout out on the Business Bunker show? There you go. You've just been shouted out. So that's one internship and three apprenticeships so far this afternoon, which is quite cool, isn't it? If you want to find out more about that, give them a follow on the Twitter. EKC Apprentice is their Twitter handle. Do you know what? It's an absolute pleasure now to welcome onto the Business Bunker our first guest of the day, the absolutely lovely Catherine Spencer. Catherine is the former England women's rugby captain and now the founder of Inspiring Women. Catherine, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker show. It's an absolute pleasure to meet you. Welcome.
Thank you so much, and it's fantastic to be here. Thank you.
It is good fun, isn't it?
It is indeed. Hearing about all these amazing businesses in Kent is, it's quite nice just sitting here and listening to it all.
Absolutely. And you're a Kent lady yourself.
I am indeed. I grew up in Hythe.
Right, just around the corner.
Not far away from the studio, and found myself back in Kent after 8 years living in Bristol. So wow. Back towards my roots.
Okay, so you came here when my youngest son arrived in Bristol. I don't blame you.
I heard about that, and I thought I'd better escape.
Yeah, exactly. So for those listeners that don't know, and there can't be many, but for those that don't, tell us a little bit about your background, your rugby career and that, and then we'll move on and talk about what you're doing now. But give us a little bit of background to your rugby career.
Absolutely. So although many people would be surprised to hear I'm older than 21, I started playing rugby over 25 years ago now.
Wow.
So I started about the age of 8 or 9 at Folkestone Rugby Club. Very, very unusual for girls to be playing rugby then. They just didn't do that. It's not what they did. I did.
Did you have enough for a team?
I played alongside my brother in a boys' team.
Oh, you played in a boys' team?
So
okay.
Girls were allowed to play mixed rugby at mini rugby, which is, young kids rugby, basically.
In those days, it wasn't that long ago, but in those days, were they playing that tag rugby where you have to take a piece of material off someone so there's no tackling?
I know all about tag rugby, actually, because I'm a patron of a charity called Tag Rugby Trust, so I'll mention that. Always got to get a plug in there. But no, tag rugby hadn't been invented then, so when I started playing rugby, it was full contact.
It was full hammering.
Full contact rugby, which I particularly enjoyed. So I've got two brothers, actually, a twin brother and an older brother.
Right.
So I guess my rugby career started at home on my parents' landing.
Yeah, no choice, really.
Pair of my dad's rolled-up socks, playing against my two brothers, and that kind of set me in good stead for my career, I think. And then joined the team with my brother up at Folkestone Rugby Club, who were hugely supportive. You know, as I said earlier, girls didn't play rugby then.
Sure.
I probably was the only girl in Kent playing rugby at the time.
Right.
But, you know, didn't really think too much of it. I just got on with it, really. I really enjoyed it. I think parents and coaches of the other teams were a bit surprised when the whistle had gone to start the match and I was still on the pitch.
Mm.
But, you know, loved it. And the boys in the team were, you know, very welcoming. I wasn't particularly
great. I bet
great.
They were.
I wasn't particularly... I'm just ignoring you then.
Yeah, I would.
I wasn't particularly great to start with. I think I was struggling with confidence. And then in my second year of rugby, I really started to realise that I could actually play. And I won't list them all. I have won a few rugby awards over the years, but I only have two trophies in my house. One is my 50th cap, which we'll come into a bit. And the other one is Folkestone Under-10's Most Improved Mini Rugby Player.
Oh, wow.
And it meant so much to me, and it still does, that, you know, they recognise that. And to start with, you know, what's the point of, you know, giving Catherine a Most Improved? Where's that going to go? Where's that going to take her? What is the point? And it's nice, actually, my first cap, my England shirt, is hanging up in Folkestone Rugby Club now as well. So there definitely, absolutely was a point. Gave me the real confidence then.
It's interesting, isn't it? And I think we'll probably come on to this later in the interview with you in terms of what you're doing now. But it's interesting that you say that, though, Catherine, isn't it? That just a small award like that, that doesn't really mean a lot to anyone else. It's, you know, the Most Improved Player. It can actually be the catalyst for sending you off in a direction that is just unbelievable. I'm very involved with deaf children. I'm the president of the Kent Deaf Children Society, and we run football teams and things for deaf kids. And some of the kids, it's the first recognition they get in their life at something that they're good at that isn't related, you know, to their disability, and it means so much to them. Just simple little things like that can kickstart people's whole belief in themselves. So I get where you're coming from with that.
I completely agree. And it's all about ability, isn't it? And what you can do. And sport really allows that. It's fantastic to see that. So, yeah, for me, definitely, it really gave me the confidence. And I knew that I loved rugby then. You know, I come from a rugby family anyway, but I knew that I loved it. But at the age of 11, the under 12s, I had to stop playing. Beyond that age, girls couldn't play in boys' teams, which, you know, fair enough, I understand that. It's a contact sport. And I thought, you know, as no girls rugby didn't exist youth rugby wise, there weren't really many ladies teams around, so I thought I'd have to wait till I went to university, where women's rugby is quite, you know, it's quite high. Most universities have a women's rugby team. So at school in Folkestone, I played pretty much every other sport going. I wasn't particularly great at it. I was kind of on the team for most things, but I was kind of, you know, average at everything, really. But rugby was still my sport. But when I was 14, 15, Folkestone Rugby Club started a women's team. Actually started by someone who's now one of my good friends, and who lives in Maidstone as well, where I do. And that was it. I started playing women's rugby, basically, from the age of 14, and haven't quite managed to stop now, age 30-something plus. And I just fell in love with sport and always have done. So yeah, started playing, you know, women's rugby then, and then played for Kent, played for South East England, and went off to university at Cardiff. And little did I know that Cardiff University had one of the best women's rugby teams in the country. I had no idea. I just thought it would be quite a cool city to live in for 3 years. And my first experience of playing at Twickenham, I always describe it for those listeners that aren't quite versed in the religion that I call is rugby. If rugby is our religion, Twickenham is our cathedral. It is the home of rugby. So the first time I played there was with my university team, and running out onto the hallowed turf was just an incredible moment. But little did I know I'd be back there quite a few more times playing for my country.
Being a businessman, I'm going to ask tacky questions because I know it's completely irrelevant to this. But as a rugby player, were you able to do that professionally?
No, it's the short answer. So it's starting to change now. So I played for England from 2004 to 2011. And in that time, I worked all the way through that. I didn't get paid to play rugby. I probably, in the end, it probably cost me money, to be honest, looking back on it, the decisions I made in my career and so on. And that absolutely wasn't the drive for us. The drive was, you know, putting on that England shirt, putting that red rose on our chest. But it's starting to change now. There's a few of the women that are going to be playing sevens, is the Olympic sport in Rio, and they've been funded and have been living as sort of professional rugby players, if you like, for the last year. And there's really starting to be a step change now, and I think in 5-10 years we'll have many more professional women's rugby players, and I'll wish that I was 20 or 30 years younger.
Sure, absolutely. It's interesting. One of the reasons I ask is I know a few people involved in different sports, and sport at the top level, county level and above, is a huge time commitment. You know, a lot of us play sport on a Sunday afternoon or whatever, you know, Sunday afternoon football. But once you play at a higher level, the commitment, the training, the time, everything, it makes it really difficult to do a job or to do the training properly. And I know lots of sports people that in their careers back in the day weren't paid and really struggled. I'm talking about Olympic sports people as well. People that actually ended up winning medals at Olympics, but really, really were competing against people that were doing it full time because, you know, they were in the Chinese Red Army or whatever. And so it is a difficult thing to do because it isn't about the money per se, is it? It's about the time and the application and the dedication to playing a sport at the best level that you can play it at.
Yeah, it's not easy, but it's not meant to be easy. Otherwise, everyone would be doing it.
Exactly,
And yeah, hugely difficult. I mean, I would, you know, get up ridiculously early, go training, go to work, go training after work, go home, go to sleep, get up, go training, go to work, come home, go training. It was, you know, it was a huge, huge commitment. And it kind of, it was your whole life, really. And in a way, slightly selfish, you know, you were driving yourself to be the best you could possibly be.
Sure.
Whether you're playing in an individual sport or a team sport like I did, that was my drive, really. So there's definitely a certain amount of stubbornness there as well. But it was, you know, it was extremely difficult to manage your life. But that's what we did. And actually, now that I've come into business, I completely understand how transferable that is. Those skills are from sport.
Absolutely.
Or, you know, military is similar, taking that into sport, and why employers are starting to love having sports people working for them.
It's funny you should say that. It is really funny you should say that. Probably nearly 20 years ago now, blimey, time moves, I spent a long time working with an individual you may have come across doing exactly that. We ran workshops on sport and leadership and management. He ran the sport in anecdote side of it, and I did the leadership management side. It was a chap called Will Carling, who used to be the England men's rugby captain.
Will
and I did quite a few things for exactly the reason you just said about the similarities between top level sport and running big businesses and running, you know, leadership programs. Absolutely, the transferable skills from one to the other are really appropriate and apposite. I don't want to dwell too much longer on your rugby career because we kind of run out of time and we've got loads of other important things to talk about. Not that your rugby career wasn't and isn't important. Who did you end up? Were you playing for Cardiff right the way through? Or?
No, so that was just my university team. And then I actually came back to Kent and carried on playing for Folkestone. I was very loyal to Folkestone and to Kent and played for them till after the 2006 World Cup. So Folkestone wasn't a premiership team and the programmes, they were the top teams, and there was Folkestone, which I was hugely proud of. But after the 2006 World Cup, I myself knew that I needed to play at the top club level,
sure,
alongside and against my teammates, and so Bristol and Worcester were my main premiership clubs. But now I'm with, since retiring from England, I'm now with Aylesford, and we're in the women's premiership, done hugely well to get there and stay there.
Wow, fantastic. Yeah, and Aylesford Rugby Club are one of those teams that kind of punch well above their weight, for want of a better term. Not that I'm insinuating anything, but they do. I mean, because Aylesford's a tiny village, really, isn't it?
Aylesford's a village club, and the women's team, we play in the top eight teams in the country, against teams with several current internationals, and Aylesford have just got one former international, and it's been incredible to see that development over the last few years. Absolutely fantastic.
Cool. No, fantastic. Good stuff. So, I don't mean this in the way that, but you're coming towards the end of your top level career, because it happens to all of us eventually with sport. I want to talk about your business, obviously, and where you're going with that, but kind of final rugby related type of question specifically. When you finally stop playing and hang up your boots, coaching, or are you going to kind of move away?
It's quite an interesting, I talked for hours about sort of making the decision to retire from rugby. So from England point of view, I retired in 2011, which was an extremely difficult decision to make. You know, I made the decision to stop doing the thing that I absolutely loved. I played in two World Cups, hadn't quite managed to win, lost by 3 points in 2010 in the final.
There's a lot of sports people that have never made it to a World Cup as well, though,
isn't there?
You know, I mean,
absolutely, very true.
It's a vanishing small number of people who actually make it to a World Cup, and that's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not bad. So I made the decision in 2011 to retire. I wanted to retire on my terms, which was hugely difficult, but I couldn't completely hang up my boots completely. You know, I loved this. Rugby's part of me. So that's when I joined Aylesford, when I'd moved back to Kent, and was playing. I officially retired last year and I've been coaching this year, but I seem to have come out of retirement and I've played in the last few games, and I'm absolutely loving it again. So I'm actually looking forward to playing again next season, and I'd like to say on the radio that it will definitely be my last season, but ask me again in a year and we'll see.
Do you know there's no such thing as a last season?
No, okay. I don't think there is. No.
There never is. This is how ridiculous life gets, okay? Don't tell anyone, okay? I'm 61 this year.
Can't believe okay. that. Can't believe that.
I still got roped into playing football in a tournament last year, okay, at Sevenoaks, and I played the entire tournament at my stupid age. And my kids, who are both grown up and both very good sports people, my eldest, Jamie, was a National League hockey player, they stood and watched me playing football, and they both sniggered all the way through it, and they went, the trouble with you is you know how to play football, you just can't. And as you get older, it gets really dangerous because you react in your mind in the way that you used to react 20, 30 years ago, but your body just won't do it anymore.
And, absolutely, and ridiculous. It just takes longer and longer to recover afterwards.
Exactly.
But yeah. It's great fun, isn't it, sport? Absolutely love it. So as you say, it's very, very addictive. And
sadly, I'm about to sign for a new club this year to play walking football, would you believe?
Sounds great, to be honest.
Yeah, so, that could be interesting. But as you say, Catherine, it never leaves you once you've enjoyed sport. It's one of those things, isn't it, that you just one more game, just one more season, anyway. So I want to move on now to inspiring women, and tell me a little bit about that. Tell me the motivation for that. Tell me what it is and what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So I started Inspiring Women 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. At that point, I was working for the Rugby Football Union, the national governing body. But I knew there was something else I wanted to do. I wanted to make a bigger impact, and I wanted to use my rugby career to fuel something bigger, if you like. During that time, I'd heard incredible stories from female athletes about how they would kind of manage their life, how they'd got through things, how they'd sort of overcome adversity and so on. And at the same time, very aware that there wasn't enough platforms for these voices to be heard. Mm. Alongside that, we're not very good at pushing ourselves as females, and I felt that we needed to be, and there needed to be something to encourage that. So that was kind of my initial motivator for Inspiring Women. So it was a set up as a speaker agency, a motivational agency primarily, although we now provide mentors and we'll be providing workshops to aspiring young female leaders.
Okay.
But the speaker agency is the primary aspect of Inspiring Women. So I'll just tell you a little bit about the first speaker
that I
signed up. Her name is Benita Norris. I was at a Youth Sport Trust conference up in Loughborough and heard her delivering the keynote speech. Benita was the youngest female UK to reach the top of Everest at the time.
Right. Okay.
But that wasn't necessarily the impressive bit for me, although I imagine it's quite tough mm-hmm. climbing Everest. It was what came before that. So she was at university. She went along to a seminar about climbing. Benita wasn't outdoorsy. She didn't own a pair of walking boots. Her main motivation to go to this meeting was because she thought she might meet some men at this seminar. Fair enough. She went along and it was delivered about climbing, about Everest, and she got absolutely hooked. And she sat there and she's like, one day I'm going to do that. I'm going to be at the top of Everest.
Wow.
Left that meeting telling people about this, telling her family, her friends, anyone else what they wanted to hear. They all told her, people like you don't do that. You don't do that. And she wanted to prove them wrong. But before she could get to that, she had to get sponsorship. It's not cheap to climb to the top of Everest. She phoned 500 companies, and the 500th company was the first one to give her a positive response. And I don't know about you, but I may have stopped after 10, 20,
yeah,
30.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
It was that huge determination. And and that's what our speakers are like now, the sort of the stories they've got and determination. And absolutely, it's that kind of personality and trait that can transfer and deliver messages into business.
Absolutely. I mean, and basically what you're telling me is really carrying on the conversation we had earlier about the transferable skills from top level sport or adventure or activities into the meaning behind running a business. And that is classic, isn't it? Is to be inspired by something, be motivated to do it, and then to passionately pursue it, even in the face of insurmountable knockbacks, until you actually get there. And that's just a metaphor for succeeding in business, really, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. Mm. And there's so many similar traits and transferable skills, and that and that is why it exists in Spirit Aspiring Women. It's that transfer from sport or adventure or military into business. And we're all trying to better ourselves, whether we're sat at a desk or running around a track or along a pitch, we're all trying to better ourselves, and there's similar ways to doing that. And I always say it's Inspiring Women, and it's kind of female focused, I suppose, but our speakers stand up in front of mixed audiences and equally inspired. But absolutely, it's okay to be strong. It's okay to be competitive.
Mm.
There's nothing wrong with that. And actually, it's the sort of the reassurance from, that these people, these inspiring women, they're ordinary people. They've just done something extraordinary, and there's no reason why we can't do that in business as well.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And those kind of role models and those kind of stories inspire the next generation of people. You know, with in all the people that you're going to talk to, there's going to be one or two people there that really, it really does, you know, send a flag and say to them, I can. I can do whatever I want. Many years ago, I was lucky enough to speak on the same platform as a lady called Tracy Edwards. I don't know if you remember Tracy. Tracy sailed around the world single-handedly. What an inspiring woman. What a story, was just amazing. And when you understood the ins and outs of what she did, as well as the sheer bravery, the absolute stupidity of going in an open boat on your own as a girl around the world, but the logistical exercise, that the nightmare of doing it, it's just a fascinating story that was really inspiring on lots of levels. So I totally get where you're coming from with that. So Inspiring Women is an organization that's going to provide motivational speakers, mentorship programs, and presumably workshops eventually.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. We connect, you know, performers, elite performers from sport, adventure, military world to business and into education and schools, universities as well for our workshops.
Fantastic. Well, we miss you. I do miss you.
Oh, thanks.
We wish you much luck with that adventure. It sounds like a fabulous venture. I'm sure it'll be very successful because someone like you is used to driving things to success no matter what. Catherine, thank you so much for that. Give us a shout out for how people can find out more about Inspiring Women. Give us your website, Twitter handle, Facebook page, whatever you want to give us, so that people can find out more about you.
Absolutely. So Inspiring Women website is inspiringwomen.co.uk.
Well, that's handy.
Isn't there? Lots of information there, and you can read profiles on all our speakers and everything else that we're doing. Twitter handle is iwomenuk, and I've also got my own personal Twitter, which is at kathspence8, number 8 being the shirt number that I wore for many years with England.
You weren't a number 8 by any chance, were you?
Best number in the whole world.
Yeah, cool. Catherine, thank you so much for that. We wish you tremendous success with Inspiring Women. I'm sure you will be very successful. For the moment, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show.
Cool.
It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. And keep on keeping on.
I will do indeed. Thank you.
Thanks ever so much. Brilliant. The lovely Catherine Spencer there talking about Inspiring Women and her sporting career. Thank you so much for that. We've got loads of tweets coming in. We've got loads of emails still coming in. I think it's about time Jane did some work and read us and read us something. I don't mind what.
Okay. Well, if you're a fan of theme parks or indeed jobs and money, you'll be pleased to know that the London Paramount theme park, which is set to open in Kent, well, they're hoping to open in Kent, they've announced that they're going to be submitting their planning application by the end of next year, hoping as well that the work will start as early as 2018. The 388-acre amusement park, which is set to cost £2 billion, it's due to bring in 50,000 tourists a day, is the projection.
A day? On the same bus.
All in front of my car, I expect.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
The attraction obviously will be based on films owned by Paramount Pictures. The area that they're intending to use on the Swanscombe Peninsula between Gravesend and Dartford, it's an area twice the size of London's Olympic Park, and it's due to open as early as 2021. It's going to feature Europe's largest indoor water park, which will be interesting in the British weather. Hopefully the climate will cooperate with that. There'll also be theatres, live music venues, attractions, cinemas, restaurants, event spaces and hotels. The owners have also promised a training academy for the entertainment and hospitality sectors, along with a new country park, a large science and education visitor complex and the biggest performing arts centre in Europe. That's in inverted commas, so it'll be interesting to see what that equates to. And interestingly, it is financed by oil money from Kuwait.
Wow.
And expected to bring 27,000 jobs to Kent. The company behind the project is London Resort Company Holdings, and they say that the huge resort will also give a boost to other attractions around the country, presumably meaning that people who come to England to experience London Paramount will then combine their visit with trips to other attractions.
Absolutely.
In the region.
Yeah. So there's a lot happening in that area of North Kent, isn't there? You've got Paramount Park, you've got the new Ebbsfleet Garden City proposed for that area too, as well as the now open international station. So for a place that didn't exist, Ebbsfleet, had to be invented, it's suddenly been going to be quite populous there. Yeah, no, fantastic. And brilliant for the Kent economy, obviously, all of those things. Interesting. So they've just applied for planning permission for that now, I believe, haven't they?
No, they've announced that they're going to get planning permission in by the end of next year.
Oh, right,
so
okay.
Presumably that means they've got an awful lot of planning and thinking and consultation, presumably.
Yeah, that's
well.
Normally it, isn't it? Is the consultation beforehand, before the actual formal application goes in. By that time, you should know where you're going to go with it, really. Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic. Thank you for that. We've had a tweet from the Bridge Trust, and it says, Vanilla Web, we urgently need volunteers. Now, they haven't said this in the tweet, so I'm going to try and kind of work my way around this. I do know of the Bridge Trust, and they are a small charity in West Kent that deal with homeless people. And they are looking for some volunteers. And they are also saying they have some places in a fundraising walk that's taking place this Sunday in West Kent. And they also have some places in the British 10K, which is taking place on the July the 10th, and that costs £20 to enter. Both of them are raising sponsorship for the Bridge Trust. So I suggest if you want to get involved with the Bridge Trust, and they're a lovely small little charity, they work directly with homeless people. They actually house homeless people. They have a home where they take homeless people off the street and give them somewhere to live while they get them sorted out and back on their feet. They're always struggling for money because it's a tiny little charity. It's run by a very passionate man called John Hanley, who's the chief executive. So do give them a follow on the Twitter. It's a Bridge, as in bridge over a river, Bridge Trust number one, the digit one, Bridge Trust one. Do follow them on the Twitter, find out more about either becoming a volunteer or taking part in their free walk on Sunday, or paying £20 to take part in a British 10K on July the 10th and raise loads of money for the Bridge Trust sponsorship. Thank you. We've also had a tweet from Cars from Kent, who say, hi Vanilla Web, hi the Business Bunker Show, we're listening, could we have a shout out please? If you want to buy or sell your car locally, carsfromkent.com is the place to do it. So thank you for that. We've had a tweet talking about, she hasn't mentioned this, but I'm going to mention it. We've had a tweet from Lisa Settle that says she's listening in. Lisa, I happen to know, next year is riding a bike across Thailand in aid of the Cancer Trust. Do follow Lisa on the Twitter, and do support her through her Just Giving page, if you would, please. It's Lisa Settle, and you can follow Lisa on the Twitter at Lisa M. Settle. Lisa is a prodigious raiser of funds. She's always up to something. Three Peaks challenges, bike riding, all kinds of stuff. So do give Lisa some support, because she's a great supporter of everyone else. We've also had a tweet from the lovely Sally Laker, who's known on the Twitter as Sally for Cakes, and he's probably the greatest cake baker in Kent, if not further afield. And we've also had a tweet from Fruitworks, and they say, hi Vanilla Web, could we have a shout out please for our brand new website? They have a brand new website, apparently. A brand new website at fruitworks.co. So do check that out. Fruitworks is a co-working space in Canterbury. It is expanding enormously. It's expanding from 1,800 square feet to 10,000 square feet. And you can follow the expansion. You can follow the refit. You can follow the refurbishment on their brand new website at fruitworks.co. So do check that out. We've also had a tweet from Michael Parks, who are the surveyors in Ashford. And they're saying, great show today on the Business Bunker. So thank you for that. I'll tell you what, Jane, do you want to read something else while I get up the rest of these tweets?
Yeah, of course. Anyone who'd like to take part in the Construction Expo dinner, that's happening at the Kent Event Centre in Detling on the 6th of October. The guest speaker is going to be Giles Brandreth, with or without funny jumper, I don't know. But the former MP, TV presenter and raconteur will be there to entertain the troops. As I said, it's taking part on the 6th of October. The price is £42 plus VAT per person, or you can get a table of 10 for £400 plus VAT, including reception drink and three-course dinner. So if you'd like to book that as a pick-me-up as we go into autumn, the email address to book is bookings@kentinvictorchamber.co.uk, and that event is sponsored by Wilmot Dixon.
Thank you for that. I have to apologise to everyone on Twitter. some person has taken it upon themselves once again to post a picture of me in a pink tutu doing a Zumba with the Minister for Sport. I do apologise. There's nothing more I can say about it. It's a horrible picture. It should be removed. I have asked Google to remove it from the archives, but they won't. And almost every week now, somebody reposts the picture. It's really annoying. Sorry about that.
You know, everyone in the world is going to try and find that picture now.
I know. It's no matter what I do, that picture keeps surfacing. I have to tell you, I did a radio show in America back last year, and somebody rang in there, and they went, "Do you normally wear a pink tutu?" Oh, no. You Googled it, didn't you?
Can we ask how the pink tutu came about?
I was blagged into doing a charity Zumba, and what happened was it was in aid of the Kent Deaf Children's Society, of which I'm president, and also the Herbs Palsy. Oh, don't you need mind bleach? The Herbs Palsy Group, which were the other charity involved. And Juliette Shand, who's one of the people behind Herbs Palsy, thought she'd be incredibly funny by saying, if you sponsor Paul to Zumba, the more money we get, the more outrageous things we'll dress him in. And that was the end result, that I had to wear all that clobber to do 4 hours of Zumba, which was bad enough anyway at my age. I did 4 hours of Zumba with Tracy Crouch, who's the Minister for Sport. And of course, Tracy's is a footballer and a football referee, and very fit in every sense of the word. And she was zumbaed away, and me was struggling along behind her, dressed in a pink tutu. It's not good. So we'll kind of zoom past that now. And please stop posting it. Find something else to post. It's the problem with social media. 2 weeks ago on this show, somebody tweeted in, and I just said, "Oh, I don't know that person." And within 5 minutes, somebody went, "Oh, yes, you do," and posted a picture of me and this person together at an event. And I didn't even remember being there at the event, let alone meeting the young lady involved. But somebody had a picture of it. Breed success through employee ownership and investment. That's a free workshop that's happening on the 19th of May, and it's happening at the Nucleus Business and Innovation Centre. Join Pioneer 10 and Capital for Colleagues PLC to learn the secrets of achieving incredible results through employee ownership and how this structure can help you to secure investment for your business. It will help your employees to become as committed as you are. It will tell you how employee-owned businesses can deliver greater sales, productivity, innovation and profitability. It will tell you how to raise dedicated funding for employee-owned companies, and it will share your business success with those who help to create it. Create an attractive way to sell your company if you ever want to do such a thing. You can find out about it by going to a web link that is far too long to read out, because it's an Eventbrite web link. The best thing to do is, as with everything on the Business Bunker Show, we will put a link on the Kent Business Radio website so that you can find out more about this workshop on the 19th of May. Or you can follow them on the Twitter, but I don't know what their Twitter handle is off the top of my head. But I think it's Pioneer10, Pioneer10. But I'll put the link on the Kent Business Radio website so you can find out more about that as and when. I think, Jane, you can do one more email and then we'll have a break.
Okay, great. People are reminded that there's still time to get tickets for Create at Fruitworks in Canterbury. Once they're gone, they're gone. I've missed out on that before by being slightly tardy. Yeah. So that's taking place on the 26th of May from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. And first up speaking is going to be Lucy Milton, who will be sharing her experience with starting a podcast, Whys and Hows of Podcasting, and hopefully give you some inspiration to get started yourself. Which will be interesting to anyone who's not branched into that medium. Next, we have Carlton Walls, who will be talking about the variety of different ways to use video to engage your audience, also something which might be new to a lot of small businesses in particular. And last but not least, we have John Hippersley, who is known for his Canterbury Ghost Tours, who will be sharing how you can get your book published on Amazon with a minimum of fuss, plus the importance of spell and copy checking, copywriting and cover design, all of which is dear to my heart as a former journalist. Copy checking, copy checking, copy checking, mm-hmm. And check again. So, yeah, that's taking place in Canterbury on the 26th of May.
Are you an apostrophe fascist as well?
Oh, absolutely. I can't bear it. It ruins my day.
Absolutely. A very dear friend of mine is an English teacher, and she spends her entire life on Facebook correcting my posts. Bless her. I've just had a tweet from Laura Burton Lawrence, directed at Catherine, who's an absolutely fabulous interview, thoroughly enjoyed it. I might get this. Laura does a show on Channel Radio called The Community Show on a Thursday at 10 o'clock, and she's also the co-host of the Women in Business show on this parish. And if I remember rightly, she used to play a bit of rugby. And I think, I'm going to get killed here, I think she played for London Welsh. Oh. Or maybe London Irish. I don't know why I thought it was London Welsh. It may have been London Irish. I can't remember. Laura, tweet me in and put me right, sorry. But she played for one of them. Anyway, she played a bit of rugby a few years ago, and she just tweeted in to say what a fabulous interview. And Keith Wilkins has tweeted in and said, listening to for the first time in a long while, thoroughly enjoying the interview so far. Great show. Thank you very much. We're going to have a bit of a break now, and when we come back, we'll be talking to our next guest. So let's have a listen to this.
Mm-hmm.